This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop, hear what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on.
Democratic Congressman John Garamendi of California, a member of the House Armed Services Committee. Thank you so much for talking to us.
Good evening.
So President Trump is calling this a one-shot deal. He's saying Kim Jong-un will not get a second chance if he messes this up. He says that he will size up the North Korean dictator in the first minute. What do you think? Is this history in the making, or will it be an epic flop?
Well, let us all pray that it's going to be history in the making. It's extremely important that these negotiations move forward in a positive way. There's extraordinary risk, however. Much of what your reporter just talked about are the details beyond this one meeting. Certainly, it has the potential of being a very good photo opportunity. And hopefully, that will set the stage for a path that would lead to further negotiations on all of those very, very complex issues, not the least of which is what is the role of South Korea in all of this, in Japan and China and Russia. This is not just about the United States and North Korea. All of these countries have a critical role to play in going forward. I think the president has done one thing very well, and that is he has significantly lowered the bar. And that's good. Because I wouldn't expect to see denuclearization come out of this first discussion.
Hmm. Well, yes, of course it's going to happen over time. The president needs to know that this time North Korea is serious. It's the first time they've ever sat down with North Korea on such a topic. And we need to know that they are willing to be transparent. There are Senate Democrats, though, that are taking a hard line on what it would take to pass a treaty with North Korea. What are they saying?
Well, they're certainly saying that it has to be at least as tough as the Iran deal, which the president did back out of. Mm-hmm. And that is a complete denuclearization. That is, all of the elements that are necessary to build a nuclear bomb are not available. We're never going to be able to do away with the intellectual ability to do it, but all of the physical. The one fellow that has actually been to all of the North Korean, or most of, if not all of the North Korean nuclear operations, said it is going to take about a decade to completely denuclearize. He did say, however, that some things can be done immediately. For example, get rid of the bombs and get rid of the fissile material that would make additional bombs. Certainly that would be a major step forward. But I think we also need to understand that there is still a war underway. There's a, if you will, an armistice or a ceasefire. South Korea has asked for a peace treaty. That's going to have to be at least one of the first issues that come up in the second, third, or fourth rounds of discussions, which will not involve the two principals. My concern is that we've had some very tough words back and forth between the two principals. Will they be able to get past that? I hope so, but don't underestimate Kim Jong-un. He is no fool. He is also a very vicious and dangerous person.
Let's not
forget
talk
to his relatives
the atrocities
about that.
To his own people.
Exactly.
Well, this is the Democratic perspective, California Democrat John Garamendi, on what he sees coming out of North Korea. Seems sober and reasonable, and I hope we can maintain that because this is absolutely, as we've talked about, potentially very epic for our country, for North Korea, for the Korean Peninsula, and the world as well. Hey, don't forget, I had my corn on the cob yesterday. I don't know if you had it. In fact, I think I still have it. I just ran. You know, every once in a while you can get corn on the cob. You know, Canabra, I'm telling you, you get it, and it's just absolutely delicious. So why can't it always be this way every day? We ran into a lucky batch, and oh my goodness, I was head on to it. And fortunately, I'm here in the East Coast in Florida. If I was back in California, which I will be in a couple weeks, I found a dear friend of mine had turned me on to this bakery in Long Beach, California, that does the most outstanding German chocolate cake. So moist, so perfect, And I know today is National German Chocolate Cake Day, but I'm going to have to move it up a couple of weeks when I'm in California because I'm going to dive into it headlong. And don't forget King Kamehameha Day for my daughter. I say that, who's living with our grandson in Maui.
It's been said, any society is only 3 missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And our crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a 4-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
Lower taxes, less government, and self-reliance. They live here. Bill Martinez, live.
Good to have you along with us. 6 minutes after the top of the hour. For more information on the show, you can go to BillMartinezLive.com. We're going to put on our history hats. You know this radio show. We love history. And we're going to go back to the Civil War and revisit Vicksburg, the bloody siege that turned the tide of the Civil War. This is the brand new book from Samuel W. Mitchum, Jr., who joins us right now. Samuel, good to have you with us. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
Hey, I'm doing terrific. Thank you so much. You know, everybody knows that comes on the show, especially the authors, that I love history, and the Civil War is of particular interest. And this one we're talking about, at the Battle of Vicksburg, Southern newspapers hurled sentiments at Confederate General John C. Pemberton after he surrendered the fortress of Vicksburg, the key to controlling the Mississippi River during the Civil War. And they called him all but everything, including a traitor, a failure, a bungling fool. But you're saying that that's a bit unjustified.
I don't think it's justified at all. He was a good general. Ulysses S. Grant had to raise his game to the genius level to defeat him finally, and he did that. But Pemberton checked Grant 5 times by military action before Grant finally won. And I got to ask you this. If you outnumber me 2-1, and you have a Navy and I don't, and I still beat you 5 out of 6 times, and I'm a bungling idiot, what does that make you?
Yeah, exactly.
Pemberton was underrated. He did a good job. He made some mistakes. And Grant didn't in the last campaign, but that doesn't mean that Pemberton was a bad general. He was an unlucky general, but he didn't get his message out to start with. First of all, he made a deal to surrender on July 4th because he felt he could get the best deal from the Yankees that day. He could get concessions, and he got them. His men did not go to prisoner of war camps. His officers did not go to prisoner of war camps. And Grant's initial demand was unconditional surrender. But Pemberton got him to abandon that. So it was a tactic that worked, and Pemberton knew that he was going to get some blowback for surrendering on the 4th. I don't know that he realized how much, but he was castigated throughout the South until really March the next year, when he made a deal with Jefferson Davis. He resigned his commission as a lieutenant general. and took a demotion to a lieutenant colonel.
Wow.
And they gave him command of an artillery battalion in the Richmond Defense Area. That was a pretty good step down. A lot of Southerners thought, well, maybe he wasn't a traitor, but others resisted. Some of it was a little Southern chauvinism there. The Yankees couldn't defeat us. It must have been a traitor at the top that did it. And that wasn't true. He was loyal to the South. His adopted state was Virginia. I think he believed in the state's rights. And today a lot of people think it was all about slavery. It never was. There was always the serious concept of what kind of republic are we going to have. Alexander Hamilton wanted a strong central government, a Senate elected for life, a president with almost royal powers. And Jefferson's concept was more governs best, which governs least. And Lincoln was pretty much a Hamiltonian. And that turned Pemberton off. But the real reason he fought for the South was his wife. She was a Virginian, and I've got a picture in the book. That woman was beautiful, and he went with his wife, and he went with his family, and he wasn't about to go against her and her family, and that's how he ended up in the Confederate Army.
Well, Samuel, what drew you to Pemberton, and particularly Vicksburg?
Well, a couple of things. I live 70 miles from Vicksburg, first military park, battlefield I ever visited, and I had a couple ancestors in the trenches there, and I wanted to see what they went through. That's one of the two focuses of the book. One is Pemberton. The other is what did they go through inside Vicksburg after it was surrounded. I found a treasure trove of research material at the old county courthouse in Vicksburg, which is a big focal point of the siege, actually. And it had diaries and letters and memorabilia from those days. And one in particular was very illuminating and surprising. There was a Southern lady who... The Southern women ran the economy. That's where the term Ole Miss probably came from. Well, that's what they call the woman that ran the plantation. She was the Ole Miss. And one of these Ole Misses was Mrs. Elizabeth Mead Ingram. Her husband was off at war. She was running the plantation. The Yankees came in and looted it stayed there a while. General McPherson, Corps Commander under Grant, made it his headquarters, and he looted it. She had 2 5 gallon demijohns of whiskey. He took that for himself, and she got to interview him, and she land-based the Yankees, as you might expect. But it turns out that she was the sister of George Gordon Meade, the Union commander at Gettysburg. She was from Philadelphia. And she wrote a great diary. Unfortunately, her last son was killed at Chancellorsville, and she found out about it on June 3rd and made that entry and stopped it. Otherwise, I think that was a book in the making, but she never wrote another line. Anyway, that's
so for you, Vicksburg was an opportunity to kind of get the story straight. A lot of false history regarding Vicksburg, and particularly Pemberton, about his indecisiveness delayed the aid Vicksburg needed. And you write, the fact is that he had been urgently requesting reinforcements stationed nearby, but his commanding general repeatedly ignored him due to a petty grudge.
Yes, his The commander of the Confederate Western Front was Joseph E. Johnston, and he took away Pemberton's cavalry.
Wow.
And Pemberton was just as blind at Vicksburg as General Lee was at Gettysburg.
Well, Samuel, we got to pause real quick. We're going to take a real quick break. We'll be right back, and we'll pick it up from there. This is Bill Martinez. We're live. It's just about 15 minutes after the top of the hour.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey Purified Water. The Berkey guy provides the lowest price filtration systems in every size. For incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency, get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
This is a warning to all household pests, to all cockroaches, spiders, ants, mice, and rats. If you've made yourself at home in someone else's home, you'd better hope the owners never hear about Terminix. Because Terminix has the know-how and the means to do whatever it takes to remove you from that home. Terminix has 90 years of experience eliminating home invaders. And they make it easy for homeowners to be protected by offering a free pest estimate by calling 1-800-676-9879. Cockroaches, spiders, ants, mice, rats, and other pests. This is your last chance. With one call, Terminix will remove you from the home you've invaded. If you think you can simply come back later, think again. Terminix will never stop working to keep you out with a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Pests.
Wherever you are, I will find you.
Pests, you've been warned. Homeowners are calling Terminix right now for a free pest estimate. 1-800-676-9879. 1-800-676-9879. 30-day money-back guarantee at participating locations. Limitations apply. See plan for details.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Non-attorney paid spokesperson. Could your house go into foreclosure? Are you behind on your mortgage payments? Does it seem like the bank has no interest in helping you save your home? And you feel like you have nowhere to turn for help? Then we have good news for you. Foreclosure Protection Services can help save your home as they specialize in foreclosure assistance. That's all they do. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, being threatened with foreclosure, have been denied a loan modification, or been the victim of a predatory loan, it's critical that you call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-667-9035. Their network of attorneys and their agents are available to speak to you now. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, Foreclosure Protection Services can help stop the foreclosure process. Call today before it's too late. New laws are in effect and may save your home.
Call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-667-9035. 800-667-9035. That's 800-667-9035.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and slingbows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug-out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
God of creation, there at the start, before the beginning of time.
Bill Martinez.
For if everything exists to lift you high, so alive. And if the wind goes where you send it, so alive. If the rocks cry.
The American America, 19 minutes after the top of the hour. We're visiting with Samuel Mitchum, Jr. His latest book, Vicksburg, The Bloody Siege That Turned the Tide of the Civil War. Well, right before the break, we were talking about, you know, some of the press and legend around around Pemberton, and that it was said that he was indecisive and caused unnecessary delay for the aid of Vicksburg, which they needed. And the fact is, as you were starting to explain, is that he had urgently requested reinforcements stationed nearby, but his commanding general repeatedly ignored him due to some petty grudge.
Yes, and that's one reason Pemberton got the bad historic press that he got. Johnston was very slow, and later the Confederates joked about it. You know, he was a commander in front of Atlanta and continually retreated. And the joke was that General Johnston will fight the Battle of Atlanta in Key West, Florida. That's the kind of guy he was. He once went pheasant hunting with some people. Mary Chestnut wrote about it in her diary. And he was a good shot, but he wouldn't shoot unless he had a sure kill. Consequently, he never shot all day long. The other men came back with dead birds. Some of they had missed some of their shots, but they'd hit some too. Johnson was the only one that didn't miss, but he never killed anything either.
Came back off an empty-handed, huh?
Yeah, exactly. And that's the way he fought the war. And he never made a serious attempt to relieve Vicksburg, even though there were forces available. Now, he may not have been able to break Grant's lines. Grant, Halleck, the Union General-in-Chief, was rushing him reinforcements as rapidly as he could. So we don't really know, but that's the whole point. We should know. This is a decisive point of the war, and yet it went by default. They should have given Grant the opportunity to win or lose, but he just starved them out. And we lost more men at Vicksburg than we did at Gettysburg.
Yeah, you imagine, and the way they died, I mean, trapped for 6 weeks, no provisions. The residents of Vicksburg, as you write, were forced to dig caves and eat rats to survive. That just had just to be an absolutely excruciating way to die and you know, a way to fight the war.
Yeah, you know, that was one of the remarkable things was the morale of the Confederates. They were rats. Nobody would eat a rat in Vicksburg before the siege. They were considered delicacies by the end of the siege. Rats were selling in the public meat market for $3.50 per rat. That was 2 weeks' pay for a Confederate private. And they had a rat scarcity after the siege.
You think?
They did. They had some. Everybody was trying to catch rats because they'd already eaten all the dogs, cats, mules, and horses.
Exactly.
But apparently, rats taste a lot like squirrels.
Okay, I thought you were going to say like chicken or something. So I'm glad you said squirrels. That's the other part of the legend. Well, Samuel, imagine. As a leader, I mean, how effective he was, as you write in Vicksburg, the bloody siege that turned the tide of the Civil War, in spite of eating rats and all that they had to go through during this siege, Pemberton's leadership and character was still respected, was it not?
Yes, the men in the trenches came to respect him. Part of his problem as a leader is he kept a distance between himself and the enlisted men, and, you know, that was common in those days. But, you know, in the pre-war antebellum, during the war, both sides were more informal, and especially the Southerners. They called their officers by their first names. He had a hard time doing that. But in the siege, he came to do it more and more. And the men who kind of liked him when he would show up, they could tell that he was interested in, you know, their well-being, and none of them thought he was a traitor.
Mm-hmm.
So Pemberton was pretty misunderstood. His headquarters is still there in Vicksburg, and if you ever want to see a live Union naval shell, they've got one embedded in the pillow up there.
Oh, really?
They won't let you get anywhere near it, but for obvious reasons. But it's still there.
Well, as you write in Vicksburg, Southern newspapers, I mean, in terms of the misunderstanding of John Pemberton, Southern newspapers had really written his story for him. He had little in which to offset other than the men who were there, the people who got to know him firsthand, probably refuted these stories and said, well, there's some misunderstanding. But like any bit of rumor that catches any kind of momentum, next thing you know, that is maligning your whole character. How did you discover, you know, that they were all wrong? How did you come to that knowing?
Well, it wasn't a road to Damascus experience. It was just one thing after another. For one thing, it's common sense to me that he checked the Yankees for a year. And or almost a year, and then he lost. But you got to dig a little bit as a historian, and I did. So plus his memoirs turned up. He wrote a rebuttal. Pemberton thought that he demanded a court martial after Johnson accused him of losing Vicksburg, and Pemberton thought he'd get it. But it's rather hard to assemble a collection of lieutenant generals when you're in the middle of a war.
Right.
So he never got his court-martial. Well, Johnson was slow on the battlefield, but he was very quick to get the press after the war. He was the first major leader to get his book published, and he blamed Johnston and Pemberton. Well, Pemberton wrote a rebuttal he wanted published in the official records of the Civil War, which they were editing at that time. It was 128 volumes. And they decided not to put it in the official records. I guess it was 150 handwritten pages. Maybe it was too long for it. But then those comments disappeared. His manuscript disappeared. And showed up again in a flea market in Cincinnati. In 1999.
Oh, wow.
A little bit late to influence the historic record.
Mm-hmm.
But I think people are coming around. Edwin Bears, for example, is a great historian. He wrote a three-volume set on Vicksburg, mainly from the northern point of view.
Mm-hmm.
And he had taken the traditional approach that Pemberton was a bundler. But he reversed himself after that. I misjudged Pemberton.
Right.
And I think my book helps history turn that around. Pemberton was a good man. He was a good general. He was an unlucky general. And he was not a great general. There's a big difference there. But he was competent.
Right.
And just because you're unlucky doesn't mean that you're not good. It just means you don't.
You're serving under the wrong leader. In his case, Johnston, of all people, who had plenty of dry powder and no kills and nothing to eat. Well, Samuel Mitchum, we appreciate the book and your efforts to get the story straight about Vicksburg, the bloody siege that turned the tide of the Civil War. Samuel Mitchum, Jr. on Bill Martinez Live. Thank you, Samuel. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Bill. Appreciate it.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the low
lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-536-4436. That's 800-536-4436. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-536-4436.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-261-9818 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-261-9818. Again, 800-261-9818.
I tried other brands, but I came back to my sunshine.
For the best hot or cold pain relief, get the best. Get a Sunny Bay heating pad.
Sometimes life can be a pain in the neck, or back, or shoulder.
And the best relief for that pain is a Sunny Bay heating pad. Did you know that the American College of Physicians said that one of the best ways to treat muscle pain is heat therapy? Sunny Bay heating pads are handmade with high quality, can be used at home or at work, and have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy.
Why take another pill?
Many people use our Sunny Bay heating pads alone and got rid of the neck pain.
Long distance travel or long hours in front of a computer can take its toll on your body.
Our homegrown small business tries to help people just like us. That's why we design and test our handmade products with great care before we introduce them to the public. You can easily find Sunny Bay heating pads on Amazon. Just go to Amazon.com and search for Sunny Bay heating pads.
You're listening to Bill Martinez Live.
Well, we're reminded of the sovereignty of God. He is on the throne, is he not? 28 minutes before the top of the hour, I am Bill Martinez. It's always great to have you along with us. And real quick, let me remind you, drop me an email. Been getting a lot of emails over the weekend, especially for our free giveaway. As you know, we are givers on this radio show. So we pass it on, and I have two DVDs. One is Samson, okay, DVD, Blu-ray disc. And the other is I Can Only Imagine, the song. You know the story, you don't. Great packs, Blu-ray, DVD. We're giving them away. I've got a plethora to do that. All you have to do is drop me an email, bill@billmartinezlive.com. Tell me which hoppa you want to be in. That's how we do it. We put them in the hoppa. And that would be in the I Can Only Imagine hoppa or in the Samson hoppa. And we'll draw your name, make sure you have your name, your address, all that. And I got to tell you, I'm really proud of you, as I mentioned earlier. You guys have been great. You sent me your emails, the address, everything is right there. It's a beautiful thing. It'll make it easy when we start shipping those out. Hope to start shipping those out in the next couple of days. So get your email into me, lickety-split, so we can get the DVD to you. We're going to be talking about the Book of Ruth and finding God in the margins. And when you say in finding God in the margins, there's a, boy, I'll tell you, that is, opens up a breadth of perspective, especially if you connect with our next guest book, Carolyn Custis James. She reveals how the Book of Ruth is about God, the questions that surface when life falls apart, how God reaches into the margins and chooses two totally marginalized women who, in the eyes of the patriarchal culture, are zeros. You know, and I would say pretty much in our culture there has been that, you know, that spirit of invalidation that has been put out there quite rampantly. It holds us apart from one another. It has made the United States the un-United States, if I might say that. It's interesting that, as we mentioned earlier, God is on the throne. He is sovereign. And it may not be the way we would do it, but God from his just perfect perspective knows where to draw strength and where to draw solutions to a chaotic world. Carolyn Custis James, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. Good to have you with us.
Thank you very much. I'm honored to be with you.
Oh, I'll tell you, the honor is ours. Your background is so extensive. I love your heart. I love what you're seeing here in this, because like you, I am a cheerleader for those that think that they have no value. When all of us have been made in the image of God, as one very appropriately said, when you consider that concept, made in the image of God, he said very boldly, as a result, I've never met a mere mortal. Pretty powerful, huh?
It is. It is. And, you know, for me, the Book of Ruth has been a game changer. And I was totally blindsided by that because I grew up in the church. I grew up hearing this story of this beautiful romance. And what it is a very raw and gritty story of desperation and of how God does reach into the margins and mobilize these women. One of the things that makes this book read differently is if we remind ourselves that we aren't reading an American story, we're not reading an American book when we read the Bible, and that it is coming out of a patriarchal culture, if we look at the story against the backdrop of patriarchy, the power of the message is just explosive. Because, I mean, well, we can see different patriarchal cultures in the world today and how women are marginalized in those cultures. It's a culture where, you know, the first strike against Ruth was that she was born female.
Exactly.
And then she's ends up married to a famine refugee, you know, in a culture where marriages are arranged to increase the stature of a family. And it's like she's a throwaway daughter. You know, sometimes they have too many daughters and they're just trying to offload them. But that's not marrying up to marry a famine refugee.
And particularly in that area, as you bring to the point even more so, I want people to understand, is the value of women was always less than. I mean, the dowry was to support the male figure in the household or the male figures in the household. It was never a win-win. It wasn't like you were, you know, paying off the father-in-law for the daughter because she was perceived as so valuable, right? It was like, oh my goodness, you know, all of a sudden I got to take on your problem in the form of your daughter. I'm relieving you of that. So, in a sense, you kind of owe me, right?
Yes. And the other thing is that the value of a woman was derived by, you know, who is her father, who is her husband, but mostly how many sons does she have?
Right.
And, you know, in that culture, you would gauge a woman's value by counting her sons.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, when the story starts, Naomi has two sons, but in quick succession, she experiences just incredible loss, including the loss of her two sons. And Ruth has 10 years of marriage without a pregnancy. So count their sons. They're zeros. That's how the zero figure comes up. And Naomi is past childbearing years, and Ruth is certifiably barren. Nobody cares about them. They're totally worthless. And when the men die, all the men die in their family. They're stranded in the culture. They're at risk to all sorts of exploitation and abuse. And that's when they would have said themselves, women would have said, the story's over. There is no story here.
Right.
And instead, the biblical camera zooms in and the real story begins with these two women who are completely discarded by the culture.
Well, Carolyn, even let's go back. Here's Ruth comes back to her hometown, and you know, some of her old friends want to welcome her back, and she has a new name for herself, right?
Naomi, yes, Naomi does, and she.
I meant Naomi. I'm
sorry.
Yeah.
The interesting thing about the Book of Ruth, and we've sort of walked past Naomi's sufferings, but the Book of Ruth is the story of a female Job.
Yes, and I was going to say that I'm glad you brought that up, because that was my thought, that her whole family is devastated, and here it is, you know.
And unlike Job, she doesn't get to start over. Yeah. I mean, it's just a total wipeout for her. And so questions about God that we all end up asking when, you know, our own stories fall apart are the questions she's asking and putting front and center. You know, she feels that God has turned against her. And, you know, she's been a faithful Israelite. She's been raised on the Mosaic Law. That's her whole context, that God is for us. We are his people. And now look at, there's nothing left of her. Mm-hmm. And so she's, you know, putting these important questions out on the table, and it's a gift to all of us, because it's saying we need to ask those questions. God's not afraid of them. Mm-hmm. It's part of, you know, the walk with God that we're going to engage in struggle.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And, you know, as I was mentioning here, Naomi comes back to Bethlehem. And they say, welcome back, Naomi. And she goes, no, that's not who I am. I'm Mara.
Yeah.
To point to the misery. I mean, here it is. She's dragging tail all the way back home to even, you know, try to grasp any semblance, any thread of her past life that could give her, you know, some sense, not even of satisfaction, but just survival in her dying days, right?
Yeah.
I mean, she is absolutely devastated. I mean, this is amazing. We're going to continue on with this story as we look at finding God in the margins. Again, you know, the sovereignty and blessings of God are beyond our imaginings. I mean, when you're in the middle of it, you think, oh, Lord, you know, I'm here by myself, and you really think so. But for the voice of God, and if you can hear what he's saying to you and how he's reaching out to you today, because his love always reaches out towards us. Carolyn Custis James with us. We've got more from Carolyn on the other side of the break. Stay with us, America. Just about 18 before
this. This is Dan Perkins for your Songs and Stories for Soldiers Veterans Tip of the Day. In many parts of the country, it's starting to get cooler, and some areas have already had a significant amount of snow. Perhaps where you live, rapid changes in temperatures, highs and lows, can make you susceptible to getting a cold or even the flu. One of the places veterans have forgotten about for getting their flu shots is the Veterans Administration. So here's your Songs and Stories for Soldiers Veterans Tip of the Day. Go to the VA.gov website and find your closest community health care center. Give them a call and see if they're giving flu shots now. And if not, find out when they're going to start. Ask about what days and times they will administer the shots and the best time for you to come. And by the way, while you're on the phone with them, ask them about pneumonia shots. Get your shots now and avoid the long lines during flu season standing in front of all those sick people. This is Dan Perkins with your Songs and Stories for Soldiers Veterans Tip of the Day.
If you are trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-0906. 800-296-0906. 800-296-0906.
Want revenge on the common housefly? Well, after 10,000 years, someone has finally come up with a better way. The Bug Assault, a miniaturized shotgun, which utilizes ordinary table salt as ammunition. Non-toxic and no batteries required. So much fun, you'll forget you have a wife and kids. $39.95 and free economy shipping. Use discount code GCN and get an extra 10% off your purchase at bugassault.com. Fire your fly swatter. Get your Bug Assault today.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
We all have heard about the benefits of fish oils, but what about the presence of heavy metals, PCBs, dioxins, furans, and other contaminants found in fatty tissues of fish? GCNteam.com recognizes this risk and offers IFOS certified tested omega-3 fatty acids. EPA, DHA insist on IFOS omega-3 fatty acid certification. Get the best at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203.
Bill Martinez.
His reputation is expanding faster than the universe. He once had an awkward moment just to see how it feels. He lives vicariously through himself. He is the most interesting man in the world.
Stay listening, my friend. Bill Martinez live.
He was right. Actually, it was awkward. That's what it was. 14 before the top of the hour. Back with you. Bill Martinez here. We're finding God in the margins. The Book of Ruth. Our conversation with Carolyn Custis James continues. Carolyn, you've had so many people bragging on your book. What they're able, how you've been able to touch them and touch us through what God has revealed to you. And I guess that's the best thing that I can say is that so much of what you're sharing with us is revelatory. I mean, it's as if God downloaded software into your heart to say, look, this is what you need to share. Scott McKnight, a professor of New Testament Northern Seminary, said, not for the faint of heart. This book will sideswipe you with admonishment when you least expect it and then turn a word of grace into redemption.
Mm.
Wow.
Well, and, you know, for me, it sideswiped me mm-hmm. because I've always thought of Ruth as more of a passive player in the story, but there's been new research in the Book of Ruth where they're saying, you know, she's leading the action. Mm-hmm. And here's how that plays out. And again, we have to think of her against this patriarchal backdrop, because when she comes with her mother-in-law to back to Israel, which mm-hmm. is Naomi's homeland,
right.
She makes a decision. In that culture, women don't have voice, agency, or rights. Mm-hmm. And her mother-in-law is ordering her to go back home because it's just not a good idea for her to come to Bethlehem. Yeah. She'll be an undocumented immigrant.
Exactly. Yeah.
She'll be impoverished. She'll be at risk. And if she goes home, at least her family's there and they can look out for her. But, you know, no man in his right mind is going to marry a barren woman because he needs to produce sons for his family. So, I mean, she drops below zero when she comes into Bethlehem, but on the way.
Yeah, she's not even at the starting line. She's way back in the bus. Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. But on the journey to Bethlehem, when she digs in her heels and says, I'm not going back, is when she embraces Naomi's God.
Yes.
And it's a total pivotal moment in her story. And the girl who arrives in Bethlehem is not the same girl as the one who left Jordan, which is
exactly
where she came from. And what happens in these encounters that she has with Boaz is that she raises the subject of Mosaic law. Everybody thinks these are romantic encounters, but they're actually legal discussions on behalf of Naomi and her dead husband.
Right.
Okay, so the first discussion is when Ruth goes on welfare. There's no way they're going to survive unless she goes out to glean, which means picking up the scraps that are left over after the hired harvesters clear the field.
Mm-hmm.
And she asks for permission to glean where freshly cut grain is lying on the ground waiting to be bundled up by his workers and carted off. She does not want to take home scraps to her mother-in-law. And she asks Boaz for special privileges. And Boaz is a powerhouse of a man. He's introduced as a like this heroic, powerful figure. And so what we have is a collision between female powerlessness and male power and privilege. And Boaz is big enough to listen to this little nobody who's telling him he's not interpreting the law as in as expansive ways as it should be. It's like she leads him from the spirit of the law to the letter of the law.
From the letter to the spirit, right.
Exactly. Letter says, let them glean. The spirit says, feed them. And Boaz learns from her, and he gives this amazing picture of a powerful man who uses his power and privilege to empower others and bless others. It's an amazing. She goes home with 29 pounds of winnowed barley. It's like 15 to 30 times as much as a male harvester would take home in a day of work. It's way beyond equal pay for equal work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and this is his doing. He just can't think of enough ways to fuel her efforts to take care of her mother-in-law.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's how the story keeps playing out. And the social, cultural chasm between them is monumental. And he bridges it, and she uses agency, she uses her voice, she fights for Naomi's rights, and he is doing what he does sacrificially. It's a picture of the gospel, the way she takes risks and he makes sacrifices, and it happens all the way through the story. Right when Naomi gets that load of grain, she sees through Ruth's actions that God has not forgotten her.
Exactly.
And that's the turning point for her. I mean, it is just, but for me, when I saw Ruth and what she was doing against the odds she faced, it was a moment for me of realizing I never knew God expected so much of me. And grieving over wasted opportunities and privileges that I have.
Yeah.
The book of Ruth has changed my life. And, you know, I love being able to tell people, you know, look at this person, these two women who are completely counted out, and they are the ones God chose not only to deal with family issues, but to move the purposes of God forward for the whole world. I mean, I can tell women I encounter and men I encounter, nobody's life is more important than your life. We always think it's the big shots that God is doing big things through. But, I mean, God is more subversive than that.
Mm-hmm.
And he works through ordinary people. The simplest act of kindness and grace can multiply beyond anything we would ever imagine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just turns everything upside down.
Yeah, and the other thing that people need to consider, and you've suggested this a bit here, but I want you to expand on it a little bit more, is the risk that Naomi was taking. I mean, and Boaz understood this, and
that
he told his people.
Taking.
Well, I'm sorry. I don't know why I keep saying yes. That Ruth was taking by going out into the field, what she potentially subjected herself to. It's suggested in the Bible, but we don't really think about that because we kind of know the end of it, and we it's all as well that ends well.
Yeah.
But for her to have that moment of fear, that trepidation, it was like, okay, her mother, you know, she needed to, in a sense, fill that void that, you know, Naomi was having in her. She had nobody to support her. And so here's her young daughter-in-law who says, hey, look, at your God's going to be my God, your people, my people. And I believe also when she made that statement of accepting God and saying, your God will be my God, there's a week of sermons just in that line alone.
It is, because it's so transformational for her. You know, I think the Book of Ruth is the Me Too story that didn't happen.
Yes, well said. I was looking for a hashtag there somewhere, but you're right.
Yeah, in the field of Boaz, he has to tell his workers, his male harvesters, not to lay a hand on her.
Right. Yeah, she's protected.
Yeah, but in that culture, I mean, there are terrible Me Too stories in the Old Testament,
right.
And the prophets are railing against the way widows are abused and exploited, and you know, the poor and the foreigner, and that they're mistreated.
Exactly.
And then when she goes to Boaz at the threshing floor in the dead of night, when nobody's looking, and the power differential between them is enormous, and he could do whatever he wanted to her, and if it came down to a he said, she said, no one would take her word over his.
She's done. Yeah, exactly.
And instead of that, he shields her reputation. He swears that he's going to make sure that the rescue she's trying to initiate to save the family that's dying out because they have no sons.
Yeah.
You know, he swears that whatever happens with the nearer kinsman redeemer, that if he says no, Boaz will ensure that she gets what she needs.
Exactly.
You know, and it's the same thing, moving from the letter of the law to the spirit of the law. And the letter of the law says, you know, a blood brother is supposed to marry the widow and produce a son to replace the dead man who has no male heir.
Right.
And Boaz is in the blood brother.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not the nearest kinsman redeemer. And the kinsman redeemer was all about real estate.
Yes.
To buy the land of a relative who...
Oh, he was willing to buy it right away until he realized it came with baggage, right?
Yeah, yeah. Well, and that meant if she has a son, whatever he's invested in that land is going to be inherited by that son, and his own sons will inherit less.
Right.
So
exactly.
He said, it'll ruin me, and I believe it ruined Boaz. You know, Boaz would never have been a man of power and stature in the community if he hadn't already gotten about the business of producing sons. You know, he's nothing without sons in the culture. And
well, Carolyn, thank you for being obedient and sharing what God has revealed to you, and for slapping us aside this head for a moment here. God's word has a way of doing that. Carolyn Custis James, I'm Bill Martinez Live. Thank you, Carolyn.
Thank you.
Anyone you love has been diagnosed with lung cancer, asbestosis, or mesothelioma. Your diagnosis may be the result of job-related exposure to asbestos, and you may be entitled to compensation. Over $30 billion in trusts have been set aside for individuals who have been affected by asbestos exposure. How do you protect your rights and get the compensation you deserve? Call Capital Legal Group now at 800-400-LUNG. Capital Legal Group is one of the nation's resources for settlement of lung cancer and mesothelioma cases. Law firms have successfully recovered over $2.7 billion for their clients in all 50 states, and claims have been paid in as little as 60 days. If you or a family member were diagnosed with lung cancer, asbestosis, or mesothelioma, call Capital Legal Group now at 800-400-LUNG. We'll open a no-cost case review on your behalf. A history of tobacco use or cigarette smoking will not disqualify your case. Visit 800-400-LUNG.com or call 800-400-LUNG. Call 800-400-5864 now. That's 800-400-LUNG.
It's a no-brainer.